The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and he delivereth them. What a fascinating subject this is. The ministry of angels is a wonderful study in the Word of God. There are many that we could look at. We want to take a look at a few of them this morning in the time that we have left together. There are many aspects of their ministry. Some people would ask the question, when did these angels come into existence? Well, personally, I am not sure. I don't see that they were made or created at the time of the 6 days of creation. I suppose I would hold to the view that they were there beforehand. And, that is something you need to study and to consider in your own heart and in your own life. But nonetheless, they're there. And the Lord made many, many of them. How many there were, the Bible speaks about them that they cannot be numbered. Many angels did the Lord make. We discover in the book of Ezekiel how there were fallen angels. We discover how the rebellion took place in heaven itself, led, of course, with Lucifer, who rose up in rebellion against God with a third of the angels in glory, and God banished them from his presence forever. They are what we know as fallen angels. Demons, as we would know them today, who still go about this world under the dictatorship of their leader, Lucifer, carrying out their evil deeds. But we want to take a look this morning at the ministry of angelic angels. These individuals that you and I cannot see with the human eye. And we want to take a look at just some aspects of their ministry here on this earth. I want to first of all look at the ministry of angels concerning informing and instructing the saints of God. They had a big part to play in the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we will be primarily looking at that this morning, just in the first point. Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. And we will discover this as we go through it together today. Luke's Gospel chapter 1. Take a look at verse 5. It says, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. These are two individuals who loved the Lord. In fact, verse 6 says, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no children because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. We can see the difficulty and the problem that they faced. You can see here that here was a woman who had, I believe, and according to Scripture, do believe, that she had prayed long and hard for long many's a day that the Lord would give to her a child, a son. I believe also that Zacharias prayed the same. But you will discover that now, as we're reading in it in present tense, that they're well now beyond the normal function of childbearing. They're now old and well stricken in years. Maybe they've given up praying, feeling that in the humanistical sense that it's impossible to pray any longer because it can never happen. But you will discover here that that which is impossible with man is always possible with God. Take a look at the next verse, verse 8, verse 7. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was born, and they were both now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed thus Zacharias the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. Now watch this. And there appeared unto him, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. And so would it have fell upon you and me. As he was carrying out his office at the altar, all of a sudden this angel appeared. I have the name of this angel. His name is Gabriel. And he appeared for a purpose sent of God. And remember what I've already said, that both Zacharias and Elizabeth had prayed long and hard that the Lord would give them a son. But now that they're old and well stricken in years, I put it to you this morning that they've now stopped. And here we have this visitation of this angel from heaven, and an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense, verse 12. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fearful upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias. Fear not. You know, it's good to take up the fear nots of the Bible and go through the Word of God. How often the Lord comes to his children and says, fear not. And the angel says, fear not. Why? Take a look at this. Fear not, Zacharias. Now watch this. This is marvelous. For thy prayer is heard. I love that one, you know. Oh, maybe they thought, had their prayers fell on deaf ears? Maybe they felt, does God really hear me? Maybe they felt, we've given up, there's no point in praying any longer. Well, Brian and sisters, this encourages me to keep praying. And they were praying for a son to be born unto them in a natural form. And maybe there's a mother or a father in this meeting house today, and you have a son or a daughter in the spiritual realm. And listen, they need to be born again. And today they're breaking your heart. And you come into church with a smile on your face, but in your heart there's a heart that is aching and breaking. And at times, as you have prayed long and hard for that individual of your family, of your kin and kin, listen, you've maybe got to the point where you've come and asked the question, does God hear me at all? Well, I want to encourage you today that God does hear. And God answers prayer. But he only answers prayer in his time. And when the angel appeared unto Zacharias, it must not only have brought fear to his heart as he viewed the angel standing on the right side of the altar, but it also brought joy to his heart when the angel says, Zacharias, thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. And thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Dear friend, listen, that's what happens when a child comes to a saving knowledge of the truth of the gospel. It brings joy not only to their heart that they've been saved and liberated from the bondage and from the power of sin, but I'll tell you, it brings joy to the heart of those who have been praying most definitely for that to take place. And I'll tell you something else. It brings joy amongst the presence and the angels in heaven over one sinner that repented. I tell you, this must have been a mighty day. You and I know, of course, John the Baptist was born to be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. John the Baptist was born, and from his mother's womb he was filled with the Holy Ghost. There's a good one, isn't it? Boy asked me one day, a few years ago, Herbert, do you really believe that he could have been filled with the Holy Ghost? Such a question to ask. When the Lord said he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, that's it. You're not going to deny the Word of God. You're not going to debate it. It's there in black and white. And he was signed as a forerunner. And I'll tell you, he was some runner. And he kept running to the day they put his head on the block and they cut it off him. And he died for the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the glory of his name. It's good to run well. It's good to finish the course. Oh, there's times we slip up. There's times we fall. But thank God in the running of the race for the Lord, you can get up again and keep running. God helping us. Yeah. The ministry of the angel here at the altar was to inform Zacharias that his prayer was heard and that John the Baptist was about to be born. Not only did he appear to John the Baptist's parents, but take a look there also at chapter 1, verse 26, Luke's Gospel. We're there again, because he came then, this same angel Gabriel, verse 26, and in the sixth month. Now the child's been in the womb now. John the Baptist I'm speaking about, he's in Elizabeth's womb, 6 months down the road. And we see here on the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Lazarus to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now where did the angel come to Mary? Verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was what? Troubled. She was troubled at his saying, and she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Mary, fear not. Mary had fear in her heart. Zacharias had fear in his heart. But the angel said, Mary, fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. And here's what he wanted to inform her about. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. The angel was sent to inform Mary about the birth of the Son of God. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And we needn't go on with that one. That's a study in itself. We're just primarily this morning taking a wee view at the ministry of angels. Now the angel informed Mary of exactly how this was going to be. Of course you know the story of the virgin birth. Mary knew no man. But she was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. And that which was conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost. That she would bring forth the Lord Jesus Christ into this world as God manifest in flesh. And it wasn't too long along the way that you began to see this, because she began to get bigger. And of course now that this girl Mary was now going to be given birth to the Son of God, listen, what about Joseph, who was espoused to her? He was engaged to her. And all of a sudden this comes to light. And the questions are beginning to be asked, and the tongues are now beginning to wag. And Joseph's left in a dilemma. What am I going to do? And I like Joseph's attitude. He never just jumped off the cuff. He never just blew the head. He just went away and he thought about these things first of all. He just thought about, well, I tell you something, Joseph was brokenhearted. I tell you something, Joseph was in absolute despair. He was only a human being. He couldn't understand. And he was thinking about putting her away privately, not to make an open show of her. I love this, you know. But you know, while he thought about all these things, take a look at Matthew chapter 1. Just have a wee look at where the angel come into play here. Because this is the Lord dealing with a situation, you know. It's not man. Hallelujah. Take a look at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was in this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Verse 19 of chapter 1 of Matthew. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Oh, he had thought about what he was going to do. But he was careful the way he was going to exercise what he felt in his heart. Verse 20, but while he thought on these things, what? The remarkable thing about this story about Joseph is this, that the Lord allowed or permitted Joseph to go through these things and thoughts and worries and anxieties before he stepped in. And verse 20 says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Verse 24. And then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. The Lord just overruled in the thoughts of Joseph. The angel of the Lord made aware to Joseph exactly what was taking place. So here we have the angels appearing to John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of the Lord, who was going to prepare the way. You remind 30 years later, John the Baptist stood by the river and he says, behold the Lamb of God which beareth away the sin of the world. And then we have not only Elizabeth and Zacharias being informed by the angel, but we have Mary being informed by the angel of how the Son of God is going to be born through her into the world. Then we have the angel coming to Joseph in a heart where it's just wrought with fears and worries and anxieties. And the Lord says, Joseph, fear not, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she's going to bring forth a son. You take her to be your wife. Yeah. And we have this angel, the ministry of angels. There's another one. I mean, the shepherds, this is the time the Lord Jesus was born. You know, I was fascinated by this one. Turn to Luke's Gospel chapter 2. Do you see this one here? Just for a wee moment. Quickly, Luke's Gospel chapter 2. And here we have the shepherds. They're out looking after the flock. Hallelujah. Chapter 2. Verse 8, what does it say? And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. All these boys were frightened. And the angel said in verse 10 unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Hallelujah. Amen. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. I want to tell you, this was a praise service. Not only did one angel appear to the shepherds, but when that angel had informed them of exactly the accomplishment that was taking place at Bethlehem, then the heavenly host appeared, praising the Lord at His birth. Hallelujah. What a Savior. So the angels had their part to play. Now the angels aren't to be worshipped, but they're certainly there to play their part on behalf of the Lord. And we can see them playing their part in informing and instructing individuals at the time of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I better move on. These elders will be giving me a hard look here. Yeah. You see them sitting there, they're like henchmen, ready to string me up. Amen. Let's turn to another one. It's not only the angels of the Lord who come and instruct and inform us, but they also protect. You ever think of that one? We've already read the verse this morning. Psalm 34, and the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. There's another lovely verse over there in Psalm 91 verse 11, and it says this, for He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee, what? In all thy ways. The ministry of angels and protection. Listen, you and I entertain angels every day on the words. Every day. And I suppose if I was to take a supreme example in the Word of God concerning what I have already stated, these two verses that we have read together, we cannot get a greater example than Daniel in the den. When they took him as he had taken his stand for God, and they threw him into the den of lions, and they closed him in the darkness, there in the midst of the den, who was with him? It was the angel of the Lord. He could say, as the king came the next morning and opened up the den and shouted into the den, Daniel could answer, my God has sent His angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they would not harm him. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And we can go through other portions of Scripture, which we don't have the time to do so this morning, where we can glean that, where we can see the angel, the protecting angel of the Lord. I mentioned it this morning, just earlier on, about Elisha and the servant. When they were facing difficult times and the enemy was surrounding them. But the heavenly host stood around. Elisha knew they were there, but the servant didn't. And the Lord says, open the eyes of the young man that he might see. And when his eyes were opened, he beheld the glory of the Lord. But not only does the Lord protect, but listen. Not only is it the ministry of the angels to instruct and to inform and to protect, but listen, there's the ministry of angels in comfort and strengthening the individual. You ever think about that one? You know, I was amazed by this one. Take a look there at 1 Kings, chapter 19. This is a lovely one here. Do you mind Elijah? Well, the day came, he cut the heads off them boys on Mount Carmel. Mind that day? What a victory day that was. And then verse 19, or verse 1 of chapter 19, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Alright? And withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. I tell you, she was going to hunt him down. She was letting Elijah know, what you have done to them I'm going to do to you. And verse 3 says, and when Elijah saw that he was saw that, he arose and he went for his life, and he came to Bathsheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and he sat down under the juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. I tell you, he was at the end of his tether. He requested that he might die, and said, "Is it enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And as he lay and he slept under the juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." Now take a look at this one. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat. I tell you, there's an angel here to comfort. It even lit the fire. It even baked the cake. Everything was there. And I'll tell you, it was a good cake too. There's queer stuff in this cake. Because after he ate the first round, the angel, the Bible tells us that he lay down again in verse 6. After he had eaten and after he had drank, he lay down again. And verse 7 says, "And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched Elijah and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." Now watch this here. "And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of the meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God." I tell you, there was meat here this time. And it was good stuff. For he could do wild food for another 40 days. There was enough nourishment there to keep him going. And here's a man in the midst of, oh, 1 minute he was crying, "Oh, that I might die! I can't take it anymore!" But the angel of the Lord drew near to comfort. Hallelujah. Where did the angel come from? I want to tell you something. He was sent of God on an errand. Because here's a man in the midst of his trial and his trouble and his distress. Listen, the Lord knows all about him. And the Lord knows all about you. And the same Lord who brought comfort and brought strengthening to his servant here can do it to you in this day and generation in which we're living. Now there's one more. I never seen this one before. Take a look at this one. Take a look there at the Gospel of Luke chapter 22. Anyway, we're going to a bit of a Bible here. Ever think of the Lord Jesus needed to be strengthened? Ever think about that? Luke's Gospel chapter 22 verse 39. Mind the time our Lord was about to go to the cross. It says there in verse 39, "And he came out and he went, and he was wont to go to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him." This is Jesus we're speaking about. "And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation." There's a good prayer. Lord Jesus telling who? His disciples. You need to pray that you don't enter into temptation. And even our Lord, as He taught us in that prayer when he taught his disciples, "Yield not to temptation." Take a look here at the next verse. "And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast." And what did he do? He kneeled down and prayed. Now he is on his knees. Here is what he's saying. "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He's in anguish of soul. He's in agony of soul. For it says in verse 43, "And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven," what to do? Strengthening him. The Lord Jesus needed the strengthening presence of the angel from heaven. And if the Lord Jesus needed to be strengthened as he faced Golgotha, you and I, how much more do you and I need the strengthening arm and the angel of God? And you know, I do believe that day by day he gives that strength. Yes, there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Listen, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. Oh, you know, no one could ever imagine what our Lord was facing. We could never ever reach into the depths of the agony that our Lord faced. But here was an angel appearing to the Lord in order to strengthen him, to comfort him. There's another couple, and I'm going to run them by you quickly. There's the angel of the Lord which comes to deliver the saints of God. If you want to study that this morning, go home and read Acts chapter 5 concerning the apostles. If you want to read a wee bit more about the delivering angel of God, read Acts chapter 12 verse 7, where Peter was in prison and the church prayed for Peter, and the angel came, smote him on the side, and got him out. Then there's the ministry of angels at death. Did you ever think about that one? You mind when the rich man and the beggar died? You mind the beggar died and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom? As he stepped out of time into eternity, listen, the angels ushered him right into the presence of God. I would go as far as to think that would happen every saint of God. That God sends his angels to usher his loved ones home. You ever think of the ministry of angels at the resurrection? He's not here, for he is risen. As he said, when the ladies went to the tomb early in the morning, we were thinking about that last Lord's Day. And we should think about it this Lord's Day, and next Lord's Day, and the day after. We serve a risen Savior, one who's alive, exalted in the heavenlies. What's the Lord doing? He's ever living to intercede on our behalf. And then there's one I mentioned just earlier on there this morning as well. And with this I'm finished. The ministry of angels in heaven is to glorify God. But listen. In Luke's Gospel chapter 15. And in the verse 10, you know what it tells us? Not only did they glorify God in the presence of heaven, but it says, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. For every newborn babe that's born into Christ's family, the angels rejoice around the throne of heaven. The ministry of angels is a wonderful subject. And you know, we have them every day in our lives. We entertain angels unaware. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our loving God and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this wonderful subject this morning of the ministry of angels, even to this very day. And Lord, at times in our own lives, we've really experienced times where we maybe should have died in a car accident or something should have happened to us. And people sometimes put it down, we were lucky, but Lord, we know we weren't lucky at all. We thank Thee that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him. And we know, Lord, that until the day comes that You're ready to take us home, we will always have the protecting presence of the angels of heaven. Lord, might You write Your word upon every heart in this room today. Might we be encouraged today in whatever circumstances that we face, or whatever anxieties that we find ourselves in, that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him. Bless Your word to all of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.